Hello, and welcome back to True Crime Cat Lawyer. I'm your host, Elise. Every week, I share true crime cases from my hometown of the Pacific Northwest. My goal is to create ethical true crime content and educate others about the legal/criminal justice system. Please be sure to follow us on social media at True Crime Cat Lawyer for Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and True Crime Cat Law on Twitter. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or a rating on Spotify. We also have a Patreon page, which is linked in our show notes. Or you can head to patreon.com to join for just $5 a month. All proceeds from our Patreon are donated to animal rescues and shelters. Finally, we now have an Etsy sticker shop where you can buy true crime and cat stickers. Again, all proceeds from the sticker shop are donated to animal rescues and shelters. The link to the sticker shop is in our show notes, but you can also find us by searching True Crime Cat Lawyer in Etsy. As always, this podcast contains content of a graphic nature, including physical and sexual violence, suicide, and crimes against animals and children. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, and welcome back to the show. Before we get started with today's episode, I want to add an extra trigger warning for domestic violence. On September 20th, 2017, 24-year-old Alicia Canales McGuire was shot in the doorway of her sister's home while she was babysitting her two nieces and nephew. The family's live-in nanny was also in the home that night, and she called 911. Alicia was dead by the time police arrived. Who killed Alicia? Alicia was born in October 1992 in Virginia. She grew up on a farm and loved camping, snowboarding, and spending time with her family. Alicia was always willing to help others because of her compassionate nature. She was a good person with a good heart. Alicia had just gotten married in July 2017, only a few months before her death. Alicia was a caregiver/nursing assistant in a senior care facility. On the night she died, Alicia had finished a 20-hour shift before she went over to her sister's house to take care of her nieces and nephew because Alicia's sister, Amanda, was going to be out of town on a business trip. Police concluded that the front door was partially open when Alicia was shot and at least 7 shots were fired. Evidence at the scene was consistent with someone firing shots, then moving towards the door of the house and firing again inside the door. Alicia's cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds to the head and chest. Sadly, Alicia's murder case went cold after about a year. But in August 2018, detectives received a tip. A 17-year-old named Alexis told some of her friends that she was hired to kill someone. One of these friends, Jillian Lee, came forward to police. She told them what Alexis had confessed to her. Alexis had also implicated her friend, Jaredon Phelps, telling her friends that he had an uncle who offered to pay them to kill someone. Alexis also admitted to friends that she and Phelps killed the wrong person, saying that they accidentally killed the quote-unquote baby mama's sister. Phelps was actually the cousin of Kevin Lewis, who was Alicia's sister Amanda's ex-husband. This was the break police had been waiting for. Kevin Lewis and Amanda got married in 2009. They were married for 8 years before Amanda moved out in February 2017. The couple's relationship was a tumultuous one. Lewis was both emotionally and physically abusive to Amanda. Lewis first assaulted Amanda in 2009. He hit her on the side of the head, causing an ear injury. Amanda had trouble hearing for 2 weeks after the assault. In November 2016, Lewis punched Amanda in the face. She ended up with a swollen eye, 2 broken teeth, and she had vision issues for a few months. In June 2017, Lewis called Amanda and tried to convince her to get back together with him. Amanda said no, which made Lewis angry. He told her to, quote, come back or else, end quote. When Amanda asked him, or else what, Lewis told her that he was going to take her to court and get custody of their kids plus alimony. Amanda reported the call to police. On June 20th, 2017, in the early morning hours, Lewis showed up at Amanda's house unannounced. Amanda called the police, and then she got a protective order. The order was served on Lewis on June 29th. That same month, Amanda was getting out of her car when she was attacked and hit in the head repeatedly, at least 50 times. On July 25th, Amanda's live-in nanny went to Lewis's house to get some of Amanda's things. Lewis told the nanny to tell Amanda that none of the stuff in his house belonged to her. 3 days later, Lewis filed for divorce and requested child support, spousal support, and custody of their three kids. Lewis violated the protective order several times. He was once seen sneaking around Amanda's house, trying to find a way to get inside the house. He also showed up outside Amanda's house and yelled at one of her friends who was installing security cameras. On August 23, 2017, Amanda was awarded custody of the three kids. Lewis was denied both child and spousal support. He was also ordered to pay $800 a month in child support. Lewis was allowed supervised visits with his kids. Amanda was convinced that she was the actual target of the hit, and she believed that her ex-husband Lewis orchestrated the murder. Detectives questioned Lewis. He looked surprised when they told him that Alicia had been out of town on the night of the murder. Lewis claimed that he was at home all night. He asked police if he needed a lawyer, and they told him that they couldn't give him legal advice. When Lewis was asked if he'd be willing to make a statement, Lewis said he might need a lawyer. The day before the murder, on September 19th, Amanda's kids had a supervised visit with Lewis from 6:15 to 8:15 p.m. According to the supervisor, Lewis was on his phone for the entire visit and he didn't interact with his kids. The supervisor said the whole visit was off. Alicia and the live-in nanny picked up the kids from the visit and took them home to get ready for bed. The live-in nanny went to bed around 12 a.m. and woke up to, quote, some loud pops and a crash, end quote. She went downstairs and found Alicia lying in a pool of blood on the floor. She called 911 at 1:55 a.m., and 10 minutes later, police arrived. The evidence against Lewis, Phelps, and Alexis was quickly stacking up. Police located surveillance footage from Lewis's neighbors. One camera showed that at 1:10 a.m. on the night of the murder, a car approached Lewis's house. 2 minutes later, a person came out of Lewis's house, got into the car, and then the car drove off. The car returned at 1:34 a.m., and a person got out of the car and went inside Lewis's home. The camera from the other house showed that the car looked like it was missing the front passenger hubcap. Cell phone records showed that on September 19th and 20th, Phelps' cell phone traveled from his home in Spokane, Washington, to within a mile of the crime scene at the time of the murder, and then it traveled back to Phelps' house in Spokane. Social media records put Alexis and Phelps together in Spokane at 4:27 p.m. At 12 a.m., Phelps' cell phone pinged in Snoqualmie Pass. At 12:49 a.m., Alexis recorded a Snapchat video in Bellevue, Washington. Alexis recorded another Snapchat video at 3:47 a.m., which showed Phelps in a car fanning several $100 bills. Detectives quickly learned that Lewis had reached out to Phelps via Snapchat and offered him $1,200 to kill Amanda. But Lewis didn't think Phelps could do it on his own, so Phelps roped in Alexis, who was more than willing to help him. The final price they agreed on was $2,400. Lewis showed Phelps a picture of Amanda and told both Phelps and Alexis that his kids would be in the home, meaning that Lewis didn't care that his kids might see and hear their mom being murdered. In July 2020, Phelps pled guilty to premeditated first-degree murder. He was sentenced to almost 32 years in prison. Alexis pled guilty to the same charge, and she was sentenced to 15 years. Phelps testified against Lewis at his trial. He testified that he and Alexis drove from Spokane to Everett on September 20, 2017. Alexis paid her sister $200 to give her a pistol. The camera footage from Lewis's neighbors confirmed that Lewis gave Phelps and Alexis directions to Amanda's house. On the way back to Lewis's house, Lewis gave Phelps an envelope of cash with $2,400 inside. Phelps and Alexis then went back to Amanda's house. They got to the house around 1:55 a.m. Both Phelps and Alexis got out of the car and walked toward Amanda's house. Phelps stopped next to the garage and Alexis walked to the front door. As Alicia opened the front door, Alexis walked off and Phelps fired the gun at Alicia until it was empty. The first few shots were fired while he was still standing by the garage, but the last few shots were fired after he walked up to the front door. Phelps was wearing black leather gloves when he knocked on the front door. He realized that he dropped one of the gloves, so they went back to Amanda's house to look for it. When they got close to Amanda's house, though, there were police cars outside the home, so they turned around and drove back to Spokane. Phelps asked Lewis to go back and find the missing glove, but Lewis refused. Phelps testified that he wasn't supposed to communicate with Lewis after the murder. Instead, he was supposed to post something on his Snapchat that, quote, basically was like a symbolic message that he did it, end quote. Lewis's Google history was also introduced as evidence at his trial. On July 16th, Lewis searched for, quote, Panthers player who killed his wife, end quote. On the night of the murder, Lewis searched for, quote, various shootings in Everett, end quote, presumably looking for news stories about the murder. Lewis's trial was 6 weeks long. It took the jury only 3.5 hours to convict Lewis of aggravated first-degree murder with a firearm and first-degree conspiracy to commit murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. At sentencing, Amanda said that Lewis was quote-unquote pure evil, and she told him that their kids didn't ask about him or talk about him at all. After the arrests and convictions, Alicia's dad said, quote, "We have some justice, but Alicia is never coming back," end quote. Because the jury found that Alicia's murder occurred within the sight or sound of Lewis's minor children, the judge ordered that Lewis have no contact with his kids for the rest of his life. Lewis was also ordered to have no contact with Amanda or her family. Lewis tried to appeal his conviction, but he was unsuccessful. If you or someone you know needs help with a domestic violence situation, please contact the Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. You can also text START to 88788. The hotline is available 24/7 and it's both free and confidential. Their website has incredibly helpful resources, so we'll include a link to it in our show notes. Thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to the show on whatever podcast app you're currently listening on. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you left a review or rating of our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. All of our sources for this episode can be found in our show notes. If you're interested in supporting our show, you can join our Patreon for just $5 a month. The link is in our show notes, but you can also go to patreon.com/truecrimecatlawyer. Patreon members receive bonus content, a shout-out in an episode, and other goodies throughout the year. Patreon members also get an exclusive promo code and sticker when they shop in our Etsy store. Speaking of our Etsy shop, you can find the link to the shop in our show notes or search for True Crime Cat Lawyer on Etsy. We have all kinds of true crime and cat stickers, plus some true crime beaded pens. All of the proceeds from our Patreon and Etsy shop are donated to animal rescues and shelters. This is an important mission of ours, and we've proudly donated to over 11 organizations so far. And last but not least, if you're interested in learning more about Podcat Winston, you can find her on Instagram at WinstonTheCatPDX. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for our next episode.